Are you an EMDR therapist and parent who wants to make more money, have more time with your family, and get better results with your clients? Welcome to the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Carolyn Solo, LCSW, EMDR consultant, business coach, and mom of three kids under seven. I realized that the grind of weekly sessions was taking a massive toll on my ability to be the kind of parent and therapist I wanted to be. So I dove headfirst into learning about intensives. I read all the books and articles and did all the trainings. Now I've transformed my schedule, my income, and my clinical outcomes by offering intensive EMDR in my practice. I want to teach you how to do this too, so you can build a practice you love and spend more quality time with your family. Let's create the future template for your life as a parent and as a therapist. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 42 of the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm Carolyn Solo, LCSW, EMDR therapist, mom of three girls. Thank you for joining me. Today's episode is going to be in response to a question I got from an EMDR therapist who is dipping their toe into the world of intensives. So I thought if they have a question about this, other people will too. They were wondering, how do you structure that initial session with an intensive client, that initial 90-minute session, the intake session? I thought this was a great question to address. So first, I'll talk a bit about the initial consultation call that I always have prior to the first session, which is that 90-minute intake. And I'll talk a little bit about the overall structure of my intensives. And then I'll talk about what I actually try to accomplish in that 90-minute session. And then a little bit about the workbook, which is an important component of my intensive model and of the intake call. So let's go. So first, the initial free consultation call. I always offer a 30-minute free video call. I know there are people out there who have come up with systems where they don't use a free consult call, where they don't want to give free anything, which I totally respect and honor. I haven't figured out a better way for myself yet to assess for goodness of fit, but I totally respect people that have found that way out that works for them. So, it's also, I feel like a goodness of fit issue because we're doing a very specialized service, like that matters to me too. So it just works for me, but do what you need to do. So in that 30-minute free consult, I want to find out the referral source. I think it's always really important to know where you're getting referrals from, who's referring to you, how people are getting your name. Is it your website? Is it social media? Is it in person? Is a network referral? Is it a doctor? Just good for tracking your marketing. So first I find that out. I always say, oh, it's so great to meet you. I'm excited to talk about how I can help you. First of all, I just love to know how you found me. Just think it's good to always ask that. And then I will get a general idea of why they're interested in an intensive, like their presenting issue. But first, the first thing I'll actually say is that I actually only offer EMDR intensives, this specialized model. Are you aware of that? If they say yes, then I don't have to talk too much more about why I do intensives. If they say no, I'll say, okay, well, do you know about EMDR? If they say no, I'll say, well, I'm an EMDR therapist. The only treatment model I offer is EMDR. And I actually only offer intensives. So I just want to make sure that's very clear. And I will say I don't take new weekly EMDR clients. And if they are really sure that that's what they're interested in, I will refer them out. I also refer out clinical issues that are not my specialty, which is why I want to know what the presenting issue is. I don't want to get to this 90-minute intake, a paid element of their package, and not discover the presenting issues not in my wheelhouse. And I also, at this point, pretty much know all the intensive therapists in my area. So if someone's not in my niche, I will refer to one of those people, which is actually a great business strategy because then those people will do the same for me, right? Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And then, of course, the better clinical care anybody gets, just it speaks highly for all of us doing this work. So if they know about EMDR already and they know that I just do intensives, I'll go into my intensive spiel, which is, that an intensive is a shorter term, more condensed version of EMDR therapy that accelerates the healing time. I use my Disney fast pass of therapy analogy. Usually people get that, laugh a little bit, make sense to them. I say that my model is this like 15 hours of therapy total, you know, spread out over 2 to 3 weeks. And that my preference is to do it within 2 weeks, but like max within a month. And, you know, and then I will say, like, when you finished this intensive, you'll have made significantly more progress than you would make in up to twice the amount of weekly sessions, right? So like more than 30 sessions of EMDR. I say, you know, we'll get to that point at the end of an intensive. And I really believe that that's pretty accurate. Like that, I think that an intensive hour is like pretty much worth double another like therapy hour for a lot of reasons. Like one, usually a therapy session is not actually an hour. We don't bill for more than 45 minutes usually. So there's that, there's actually more time. And then there's no like stopping and starting, like how was your week, blah, blah, blah. So you're just getting this continuous flow of processing. So I really do believe that's true. And we're really focused on the treatment plan during an intensive. We're not like there to have a long-term therapeutic relationship. We're really focusing on the fact that we have a limited number of time, hours, you know. So we just kind of want to get there and do the thing. So that all tends to resonate with people in terms of why an intensive is a good model. And if, you know, once I know what their presenting issue is, which is why I try to find that out first, and beyond just referring out, is then I'll say like, here's why an intensive could be a good choice for you, right? So I'm sort of selling them on that piece. And then I, you know, if they don't know what EMDR is at all, or even if they know what an intensive is, but they're not totally sure about EMDR, in most cases, unless they really feel like they have a grasp on EMDR or they've done it before, I will give them my little like EMDR spiel, my elevator speech. Usually what I tend to say is that something like, you know, EMDR is an evidence-based treatment that harnesses the nervous system's natural inclination towards healing. This natural healing mechanism mostly occurs during sleep, during REM sleep. Talk about how, you know, we've all seen a video of someone's eyes moving, just did it on the screen, under their lids. That's REM sleep. And we're basically trying to harness that while you're awake. Say Francine Shapiro developed EMDR in 1987, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and that she first started using EMDR, although we do know it was initially EMD, right, to work with Vietnam vets and to process PTSD. And that EMDR is currently one of the two modalities recommended by the VA to treat PTSD with veterans. People usually connect with that. They're like, oh yeah, veterans and PTSD, that makes sense. And then I'll say that, you know, since its origins, EMDR has been found to be effective, not just with PTSD, but with a wide range of mental health problems. Sometimes I'll say it works for anything stuck that's causing yuck, which is a phrase I learned in my EMDR basic training. And that kind of always resonates with people too. Something stuck that's causing yuck. I'll say that research has shown that it's effective for depression, anxiety, panic, more just beyond PTSD. And that, you know, EMDR is about treating the roots of trauma, not just symptoms. You know, we'll work at the source of the trigger. So you're not just dealing with symptoms as they come up forever, but that you're experiencing the symptoms less frequently. So yeah, and I say, if you have more questions, I can share some more information. I have a couple like documents, like an infographic and then a video from Emdria that I'll send them. Yeah. So that's kind of my EMDR elevator speech. And then in terms of presenting issues, I'm a big believer in niching down. And regarding niching down, my two major niches, I would say, are, maternal and perinatal mental health, and then also complex PTSD and dissociation. So if something feels way outside of my niche, you know, I will refer to another intensive therapist, which is not to say that I don't do intensives with people that don't fall into those categories. But again, like the more specialized you get, the more, you know, you can sort of stake a claim as being the expert in your area and really increase demand, I think. So regarding complex trauma and developmental trauma, I do try to assess for that in that 30-minute call. And some people say, oh, that's an automatic rule out. I have talked a lot in other episodes about how that is not an automatic rule out for an intensive. But, you know, I am going to ask a couple of questions if I feel like I'm getting sort of more of that complex developmental trauma vibe, which may not be a great fit for an intensive. If they have a primary therapist and there's something specific that they're coming for to work with me on, that might be different. But, you know, I want to be very clear about what the length of the relationship is likely to be in an intensive, and that if they're looking for like a longer term attachment oriented relationship, that's not what I'm going to be able to offer. But, you know, maybe they want to work intensively, like a couple hours every other week for a few months. That's possible. But, you know, you want to be asking some questions during that 30-minute consult to get a sense of if that's, you know, what's going on here. You know, usually during the 30-minute consult, I'll ask a couple of questions that are sort of vague that will give me a sense of, do I need to assess more for dissociation? I'm kind of like, you know, this might seem like a strange question, but do you ever find yourself not being able to remember like large chunks of your day or something like that? Or, you know, you have someone tell you about something that you did and you don't remember it. And if they're like, what? No. I'm like, okay, then I probably don't need to keep going with that. But if I get some sort of like flashbulb of recognition from the person, I might be like, okay, I need to ask more dissociation questions because, again, an intensive might not be a great fit. Let's see. I'm always really upfront about cost and insurance reimbursement in that 30-minute call because I don't want any surprises there. My website is very clear about the cost of my intensives, but I don't want to be setting up any expectations for someone that can't afford the service. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I'm not trying to, you know, do a sliding scale with intensives. You know, I'm explaining what I do and why I do what I do on the consult call, and then they can decide, right? I'm not saying like, oh, that's too much. Well, let me knock it down for you or whatever. And I also, in terms of insurance reimbursement, usually at best insurance will reimburse like the first hour of an intensive day if they have out-of-network benefits, but not beyond that. So I'm also very clear about that. So that's kind of a 30-minute call. And if they have no more questions, I'll say, hey, are you ready to schedule your 90-minute intake session? So what happens in that 90-minute session? This is the first paid component of the intensive. I usually do these virtually, although I could do them in person. And this is why I like to screen carefully with a 30-minute consult call, which is free. I don't want someone, if I can help it, signing up for the 90-minute call and then not being a good fit for the intensive because they're going to be responsible for the fee. And they, you know, I just don't feel good about that personally. But that's another reason why I do the 30-minute call. So in that 90-minute intake session, I would say that the majority of phase one happens there, that I'll do some history taking. We'll talk in more detail about the primary presenting issue. You know, I got a little bit of it in that 30-minute call, just sort of like rule them in or rule them out. Now I'm going to get more, maybe a little bit of a genogram, a little bit of general family history, talk a little bit about their experience with therapy, a little bit of treatment planning. I give them an idea of what I think we can accomplish in the intensive time. I talk a little bit about the recent traumatic event protocol, or RTEP, which is the model protocol that I tend to use in intensives. Whether it's technically a, quote, recent event or not, I find that the recent event protocol works really well for treatment planning and being focused in an intensive. If you want to hear a lot more about that, episode 8 of the podcast, Go Way Back, talks a lot about RTEP. So I really walk you through how to do that. I also walk clients through my intensive workbook during this 90-minute session. The workbook that I have is based on a wonderful idea that I was first introduced to by Cambria Evans, an EMDR consultant who has an intensive training program from her company that's called Zero Disturbance. I've adapted the workbook a lot for my own purposes, but, you know, credit is credit where credit is due. It was her idea first, and then I kind of made it my own. It's an amazing resource. I really love using it. It's got a bunch of assessments in it, some questions about negative and positive cognitions, some attachment history, some developmental history, resource identification, some different ways to identify targets. I do some parts work stuff in there. I talk about major symptoms. And this array of information helps me and the client continue to refine the focus for the intensive. And then it gives me a lot of information that could take, you know, many individual sessions to collect. So it saves time so that we spend as much time as we can during the in-person sessions doing the reprocessing. And something that is really important is that I do not overpromise results when I am at any point during the intensive, but certainly, you know, clients want to know like, what can we get through in this time? And so I never tell anyone that an intensive will mean they never have to come back to therapy. Certainly not a 15-hour intensive. 15 hours is 15 hours, and that's a lot, but it's useful to set expectations for what can happen in that time. And remembering that until you're in it, you can't really know exactly how much you're going to get through. You know, every client is different. And I want to remind you that like your expectations for what you think you should be able to do are probably higher than your client's expectations. You're probably holding yourself to a really high standard that they are not holding you to. So I think sometimes we can get in our heads about what an intensive can do and what clients think an intensive can do. That's really more our stuff than it is theirs. But I think it's great to be realistic and not overpromise. I promise like there will be progress and movement. Like I think you can promise that to a client. Like I don't think I've ever done an intensive, like maybe a rare exception. I can think of one or two people just weren't a good fit. They just like really weren't in a place to do EMDR at all. I had one person come through like that, an intensive, and we just sort of were like, let's just end this. This is not really for you. I didn't press it. Beyond that, most people get through it and get some benefit. So there's going to be progress. And I do think you can promise that to a client, that if they kind of show up and are willing to do the work kind of in the way that you guide them to, and that was the issue with the person that I didn't continue with, but they were really not ready to do what needed to be done. It wasn't a good fit for a number of reasons, but like if the person shows up and is willing to do the work, something's going to happen. You just don't make any hard and fast promises. Like just like you would never do that for any client, right? Like even in talk therapy, we don't say by this date, you're going to get to this place. Like, no, right? You just acknowledge from the beginning, everyone's story, everyone's experience is different, but that it will be beneficial. I think, you know, again, you can't guarantee that, but that's been my experience. So, right. Like I said, in that 90-minute session, I spent a good chunk of time talking about the workbook, right? So what is in it, the workbook that I have created? It's mostly a series of questionnaires that I have clients complete to give me a lot of information about them, a lot of history-taking type stuff, a lot of resource identification before they are ever, you know, in person in my office. I ask them to return it to me at least 24 hours before our first intensive day so I have time to review it. Usually takes me about an hour to look at and make some notes on. But I like to say 24 hours just to make sure I'm giving myself some time and that it's not coming to me at 8 a.m. when the intensive starts at 10, right? They just give us a great deal of information that helps identify these treatment goals. Like I said, I have clients identifying negative and positive cognitions, mostly negative, really, a little bit about positive, but the negative is what I focus on. I ask them to like pick their top five. I ask them to talk about a time that they remember learning that was true. You know, like I'm unlovable. Like what's an early memory that you have that made you think you're unlovable, right? So that can help me get a sense of some other targets that might need to be in there. Some general developmental history, a few attachment assessments, a parts mapping exercise, which people tend to really love, very useful for me. Identification of potential positive resources. I do like a calm state one. I do a nurturing, protector and wise figure, like three different ones like that. I have them identify some other positive resources, like, you know, sort of the resource, the RDIs. I have them identify their most troublesome symptoms, and I take all this stuff, all this information, and start forming a treatment plan. And it kind of narrows the focus as we go, given what I know already about what they want to work on, right? I send the clients the workbook after the 90-minute intake. I do a little of tailoring to them. There's a couple of places where I might change something that is like more relevant to their particular presenting issue. And, you know, I walk the client through the workbook in this 90-minute session. So they have plenty of time to ask questions, get clarification. And that tends to take at least 30 minutes. And that's, I find that really helpful. I kind of think of it as phase one and two in a workbook. Obviously, we're going to install some of those resources. I'm going to have some questions about the workbook. And that's usually the first hour of the intensive day is doing some of that. Also in that first hour, we try out different kinds of bilateral. We review the workbook during that first hour, install a couple resources, and then really start target identification. I can usually start the first target, if not before lunch, then right after. Right. So 30 minutes walking clients through the workbook in that 90-minute session. And they often do have questions, and that's great. But it really does help the clinician and the client be on the same page when the intensive starts. Let's see what else. I just think that, sorry, I'm kind of a little all over the place today. Like, I do think it primes the client to be really ready to work. Like, they've done something beforehand. They feel like, you know, this is a big investment that I'm making in myself and I'm prepping. I think that feels good to a lot of people. They're thinking about what they're doing in a focused way. I'm kind of getting them sort of prepared. They've done some resource identification. And I think it helps them think about, how does this feel different than just like regular therapy, right? Like, I'm prepping for this in a different way. Helps them feel very involved in the treatment planning process, and that the process is very intentional. And then sometimes the workbook in various ways can help us zero in on different targets that maybe they didn't initially plan to identify, and that can be super helpful. So I think there's a lot of reasons why the workbook is useful. I've definitely had people say to me, like, how do clients feel about the workbook? Do they complete it? Do they think it's too much work? Do they hate it because it feels like homework? Do they find it overwhelming? I honestly haven't had that experience very much. I think people really like it. I think it feels interesting to them. And they often say, like, there's stuff in here that I never thought about, that I haven't thought about in a long time. It gives them kind of a sense of, how do we conceptualize stuff in EMDR a little bit? And then, of course, like, during the 90-minute session, I always say to clients, you know, do as much of this as feels manageable to you, right? You don't have to do any of it if you don't want to. Whatever you do will be valuable. Well, and anything you do, we'll go over on the session and then we'll add to it. Anything you haven't done, there's time. And I always say, like, you know, as you're going through the workbook, if you're noticing yourself starting to feel activated, overwhelmed, triggered, absolutely take a break. And of course, if you need to stop, that's fine. I'll like review a few self-care, like soothing skills with them in case they need them. I put no pressure on them whatsoever to complete it. But I've never had a client like flat out say, I don't want to do this and I'm not going to do it. And I've never had a client not do any of it. Most clients do at least half, I would find. And I find they're pretty receptive to it. And again, going over it in like such detail in the 90-minute session helps them feel prepared, like they know what they're doing and they have plenty of time to ask questions. You know, we go through it slowly. I want them to understand why I'm asking them what I'm asking, how I might want be like, what kind of answers I'm looking for, that sort of thing. Like, for example, the parts work exercise is probably going to be unfamiliar to most people. So I slow that down a lot and talk them through that. Right. So after we've done that, we schedule out our 3 intensive days. So I think I said earlier, or many times in the podcast, the model that I have is like 3 days of like 4 to 5 hours of work with a lunch break over 2 to 3 weeks, max a month. So that's basically 3 long days. I give them a few tidbits on how to prepare for the day, which is also in the workbook, like how to take care of themselves, what to wear, what to bring. Remind them of the 24-hour return time on the workbook, answer any final questions, tell them, you know, I'm available in between if you need to reach out, and then I send them off. And this puts us in a great position just to like get right to work when they show up in my office for that first day. And hey, you don't have to do a 90-minute intake. You could do all of this on the first intensive day. But for me, this approach helps me feel organized and prepared and grounded. And I have found that it works really well for clients too, and doesn't feel too overwhelming. It's like the introduction to the process. They have some time to kind of acclimate, and then they're like jumping right into the first long day. So they feel a little bit more prepared because, you know, a full day of therapy is a lot, right? And most people have never done that or even considered it. Okay, so today just covered a little bit about how to think about the consult call and then how to structure the 90-minute intake session. I hope you got some good ideas about how to use the time for yourself, some things you might want to try, some things you might not want to try. I'd love to hear how you think about intakes and if you use them and how they work for you. Of course, the workbook is something you get access to if you work with me in any capacity. Follow me on Instagram at Future Template Parent with all my intensives and podcast content. Check out my website at www.futuretemplateparent.com if you haven't already. Get lots of updates on my offerings. You can get on my email list. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope you have a great week and I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Future Template Parent podcast. I hope you've learned something that can help you move from feeling overwhelmed to energized about your practice and your personal life. You don't have to choose one over the other. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. And please share it with another EMDR therapist who would benefit from hearing this episode. Each review helps us get the message out about how offering EMDR intensives can liberate your practice. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app so you don't miss a single episode. See you next week.